नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
I'm going to read a well-known verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is with translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has very kindly given us this knowledge by which we can come out of the darkness of ignorance to the glorious shining light of Krishna consciousness. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajang bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogang tang yena mam upayanti te. I'm doing a little quickly because somehow or other I wasn't looking at the time and it's become late. Translation. To those who are constantly, Lord Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord instructing Arjuna said that he had spoken to him many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is
Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instruction so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to Him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Guruna Vaishnavangstra Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other parts of the Gita, Lord Krishna speaks on many different topics about karma, jnana, yoga, the relative benefits of following these paths of worship of the demigods and the effects of the modes of material nature. But in these four verses, of which this particular one which I'm reading is the third, there is Lord Krishna is speaking very intimately to Arjuna. Krishna is no longer presenting some dialectic understanding of the various paths or the various things that can be done, but he's speaking to Arjuna, addressing Arjuna in Arjuna's own constitutional position, that actually Arjuna, although he appears to be a conditioned soul, he has been temporarily covered with Maya for the purpose of enacting the drama of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. But here Krishna is speaking to Arjuna heart to heart. Krishna in his constitutional role is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead and the object of love for everyone. And he's addressing Arjuna, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti, you are my devotee and my very dear friend. So Krishna, the whole purpose of speaking this Bhagavad Gita, well, there could be said to be many purposes, but mainly it's spoken actually not so much for Arjuna, because Arjuna already knows what is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Temporarily he appears to be placed into some kind of maya, but inherently and intrinsically Krishna knows that we have to always think of Krishna. And even if he hadn't formulated such thoughts in his mind, if he hadn't thought about it very philosophically, he is always thinking about Krishna, because he's a pure devotee of Krishna. Just like we hear about the gopis who are Ramya kached upasana vrajavadhu, vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the gopis' path of worship of Krishna as the best, but they were not Vedanta scholars. They simply loved Krishna, which is on a higher platform than being Vedanta scholar. So Arjuna, he may not, previously to hearing Bhagavad Gita, he may not have formulated in his mind any philosophical basis for why one should be a devotee of Krishna. That Krishna is giving to him now. But automatically, because he's a pure devotee, he's always thinking of Krishna with love and serving him. So Krishna here is giving the formula how we, who are not fixed in our actual platform of love of Krishna, how we can come to Krishna. What should we do? So many processes are given. Rupa Goswami has given in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu this so many different processes of devotional service. But they all rest on one point, which Prabhupada spoke about, and you gave me that quote today, that the basic principle is love. Prabhupada was describing how... Actually, Prabhupada was describing the relationship between himself, Prabhupada, and his disciples, that he, Prabhupada, can chastise them, and they'll accept it. It's because it's a relationship of love. Otherwise, what relationship does Prabhupada have with his disciples? He's an old man, and they're mutually foreigners, Prabhupada's American disciples and Prabhupada. From the external point of view, Prabhupada's a foreigner to the Americans, and Americans are foreigners to Indians. So how is it that they can accept Prabhupada's chastisement? Because it's based on a relationship of love. And I looked that up, and he's saying that Prabhupada is giving the example that even the child is punished by the mother, still he'll call out, "Oh, mummy, 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 mummy." Even he's, "Please come, leave a past me. Do you need a seat?" "Yeah, give a seat, that's better." So even though he's punished by the mother, still he has no other shelter but the mother. It's a relationship of, the Prabhupada said that the relationship, the motherly affection is the most, that's the closest thing in the material world to the pure spiritual love. It's the closest to the selfless love of the spiritual world, of spiritual existence, the love that exists between Krishna and his pure devotees. So, love is the basic principle, and we preach Krishna consciousness, trying to show, trying to demonstrate to others the philosophical superiority, which clearly, if anyone is interested in philosophical understanding, which unfortunately not many people are nowadays, because who's interested in philosophy? You know, people who are brought up on Tom and Jerry and soccer matches, you can't expect them to be very philosophical. What is it? Tom and Jerry soccer matches and Kentucky Fried Chicken. You can't expect people to be very philosophically inclined in such a society. But we try anyway. It's appealing to human intelligence. People do have intelligence, no doubt. Otherwise, how do so many big buildings are being built and computer softwares are being written? And undoubtedly, people have intelligence. So, appealing to the human intelligence, we are preaching philosophy as given by Lord Krishna, as given in Shastra, as given by all the acharyas. Nevertheless, we find that even many intelligent people, even if we intelligently present to them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they're not inclined towards that. Or many people, they're not, from the beginning, even when we start to speak, they're not interested to hear, because their inclination is already set elsewhere. Prabhupada writes here, the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Nati vidu swartha kating hi Vishnum. People do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to attain Krishna or Vishnu. Durasha ye bahirata maninas. Therefore, they're stuck on the external platform of desiring things which are of no actual value to them whatsoever. And there are unlimited examples of this. We just see that. I was just in Luton Airport two evenings ago, and they said, you can win this car. So they were inciting people's desires. So some lottery. You can win this, the car of your dreams. So they're inciting people to have some desire. And that's obviously, that's considered a very normal desire, that people would desire to have some Aston Martin car or some very prestigious kind of car. But what kind of dream? What is this useless? What is this useless aspiration for something that cannot actually satisfy us? In material consciousness, we are desiring that which cannot actually satisfy us. We presume that if I had those who don't own Aston Martin cars may presume that if I had one, it would satisfy me. But there is nothing in an Aston Martin car that intrinsically to satisfy us, because it's metal and some plastic and some oil and petrol, and there's nothing there that can intrinsically satisfy us. Even it's designed in such a way as it may incite our desire, but there's nothing there that can intrinsically satisfy us. There is one line from this book that Hayagriva Prabhu wrote, the Hare Krishna explosion, in which he was explaining he was reminiscing about the spread of the Krishna conscious movement in San Francisco in the late 1960s. And there are so many things in that book, but one thing stuck in my mind, that the new devotees, it means they're trying to be devotees, they're coming from hippie background, in which the motto was make love, not war, because the Vietnam War was going on. And make love means, that what they call love means sex life, actually. So they come from that background, and that was described, Hayagriva Prabhu described how one devotee, it was a new devotee, they're just starting to chant Hare Krishna and imbibe this philosophy and so many things. And he saw some beautiful hippie girl go by. And his eyes became transfixed on that beautiful form. So Hayagriva said to him that, well, you know, you're not supposed to look. That's just blood, muscle, skin, fat, bone, brains, and other organs. And but the reply came, yeah, but it's all in the right place. So that's the illusion. It is actually just skin, bones, blood, muscle, fat, and all these different things. But because it's arranged in such a way, it bewilders us to think this is something very desirable. So in the same way that cards, it's mostly metal with some plastic and some other things, and but it's arranged in such a way that we think we can get some pleasure out of it, but intrinsically there's nothing that can give us pleasure there. And that goes of everything in the material world. Everything. We are preaching, don't worship demigods, just worship Krishna. And people say, well, why not worship demigods? Why just worship Krishna? Because I like to worship demigods and I get some material benefit from doing so. So we can explain that. Well, actually, we're all supposed to serve Krishna, but people have different inclination. They're unfortunate that their actual need, prayojan, prem prayojan, the actual need of the soul is to develop our love for Krishna, not to develop, to revive our love for Krishna. But we have so many other desires. Hoya mayar das kari nana obhilash. When we take up the position of the servant of Maya, we get so many different desires. So many different desires. But this is the power of Maya. So we have so many desires and we're attempting to fulfill them, but we can never, never, never be satisfied, even if all our desires could be fulfilled. The example is there of Hiranyakashipu. He was actually able, there's very few people in the history of mankind, but he was actually able to fulfill all his desires. But he was not satisfied. He remained dissatisfied. He, by his own strength, he conquered over the universe. So he, superficially, he was controlling everything and he could do whatever he liked. Practically, he thought he was in the position of God, but he always remained dissatisfied. He thought he was controlling, but actually he was controlled by his senses. He wasn't free from Maya. He thought, I am controlling, but he didn't know how he was controlled by Maya. So, who will appreciate this message of Krishna? Krishna is saying that you sincerely come to me, you sincerely approach me with love, and I will reciprocate, and I will make it very easy for you to come to me. Who will take up this message? Who will find this out? There are so many people speaking so many things in this world, so many different kinds of advice are being given. And when our devotees speak to people that, yes, you surrender to Krishna, it just seems like people, how can they relate to this? What is this? And they just think it's just someone else's opinion, and so many people are saying so many things and they don't take it very seriously at all. So persons are fortunate who have this urge to find out, what do I really need? What is the real hankering of my soul? Mostly we are following the hankering of the mind and the senses. We don't go deeper than that. My desire, I want to enjoy this touching, tasting, feeling, smelling here. That these are my desires. That just in Oxford Street, you were showing that HMV? HMV, his master's voice, of course. CD store, I guess it is now. It used to be a record store, presumably. It used to be Virgin Records or something. That's another one. Okay. So the young people are coming and spending their money there because they feel that now this is somewhere where I can fill my desire. You go in a big store and you have all different kinds of music, and the desire to hear music. This is something wonderful. We'll be satisfied. But no one is satisfied. No one is satisfied. And whatever. The whole of Oxford Street, and there are other streets in in America, what's that, Fifth Avenue or something like that. There's the famous shopping streets where people come from all over the world to buy so many things. Of course, they can't buy everything because they have limited amount of money. So their desires are greater than their ability to buy. But even if you can buy so many things, but it doesn't satisfy. So persons who are intelligent, they're not distracted simply by the mind's desires. Persons who are intelligent, persons who are very sincere, they're thinking, what is the actual need? What is my heart's deepest desire? Because we listen to some music and that's nice, but it doesn't fully satisfy. But for some time, because we're on the mental platform, which covers the spiritual intelligence, so because for a little time that feels a little bit satisfied and we're not in contact with the real need of our soul, then we feel, oh, yes, that's nice, I feel satisfied. But it's not the true satisfaction of the soul. So Krishna is calling us to come very deeply, to find out, to dare to go deeper than what is allowed by or what is prescribed by normal human society. That you just, normal human society says, yes, you just go this far. You do this much. But what is the real need of our soul? That's not taught in normal human society. Four universities in Leicester. Is it four universities?
Two.
Oh, all right. And there must be so many other colleges and this and that and so many educational institutions. But what are they teaching? No one is teaching. What is our real need? What do we really want? What is our actual heart's desire? What is that which can truly satisfy us to the fullest extent? No one is even thinking there can be such a thing. But Krishna gives us this information in Bhagavad Gita that our real need is to go deeper than the superficial, to find out Krishna. Even in the school, they may teach on a superficial level something about Hinduism. They probably do nowadays, don't they? Or about Bhagavad Gita. Some little something is there. But mostly who is reading Bhagavad Gita, they're not in contact with Krishna. Then we talk about self-realization. That famous book of Prabhupada is the science of self-realization. So self-realization means to know Krishna. Not that we are Krishna. But self-realization means to understand that our very self is inseparable from Krishna. That we have no existence separate from Krishna. We can never be satisfied separate from Krishna. We'll always be a misfit. We talk about, what is that? We talk about dysfunctional persons. Or we talk about well-adjusted persons. But what is a well-adjusted to live in this material world means that we are dysfunctional to the need of our soul. The actual need of the soul is Krishna. So Krishna is calling us to the platform of love of Krishna, which is actually a very revolutionary platform, because if we love Krishna, then we can never love anyone else in the material world in the way that they expect us to, which isn't love at all, actually. But that superficial kind of exchange that we call love in this material world, when one develops love for Krishna, then that kind of superficial love which people expect of us in this material world is supplanted by a kind of love which persons in mature consciousness can't relate to, and therefore they think, well, my son, wife, friend, whatever, father, wife, they became Krishna conscious and they don't love me anymore. But actually they love more in a manner, but it's such a different concept of love that materialistic people can't relate to it at all, because in this material world people think that love means mutual satisfaction of sense gratification. But actual love means how we help each other to come to Krishna. There is no actual love or good feeling or any such thing without love of Krishna. So Krishna is calling us to go beyond the superficial. And we have to be very careful in our Krishna consciousness movement also that we don't come down to the superficial platform. It's easy to be superficial. It's relatively easy to have temples, Hare Krishna. It's relatively easy to build temples and to make collections, but to keep ourselves always inspired in Krishna consciousness, to always frantically search after Krishna, that strong urge to find out Krishna. There's no formula for doing that. We can study various management formulas, how we can make our movement better managed. So that's all right. But management in and of itself doesn't produce Krishna consciousness. That Prabhupada suggests here in the purport. Again, I'm reading, the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. So this is beyond all formulas. Even we find that Rupa Goswami has given so many rules and regulations for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And these are essential for advancement. If we don't follow them, then we can't make advancement. Once Prabhupada was asked, that Prabhupada, how can we make advancement quickly in Krishna consciousness? So there could be various answers to this, but Prabhupada on this particular occasion said, follow the rules and regulations very strictly. So these rules and regulations are essential because they're centered around hearing and chanting about Krishna. And by hearing and chanting about Krishna, that helps, or that is the formula to revive our Krishna consciousness. But all this has to be, sometimes we hear devotees say about, well, mechanically performing devotional service. There's no mechanical thing, because devotional service works on the platform of devotion, and devotion means love. But we may feel like that if we don't, we may feel it's becoming mechanical, or I can't chant 69, I'm not getting any taste for it like that. If we don't have this strong mood of, let me come to Krishna, let me find Krishna, let me serve Krishna, this strong mood that I must become Krishna conscious. So for this, association is essential. It's essential to have the association of devotees who cannot live for a moment without Krishna, whose only thought, whose only inspiration in life is that we must serve Krishna. We must dedicate our lives to Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam, is here in this verse. Krishna is saying, bhajatam priti purvakam, unto those who are always engaged in my devotional, always engaged in my devotional service with great love. Krishna says, I give the intelligence to them by which they can come to me. So without that strong motive that, yes, I must find Krishna, I must go to Krishna, whatever else happens in this world, it doesn't matter. But I must serve Krishna. This kind of, from the material point of view, reckless determination that, oh, what will happen to all your career prospects and this and that. And but devotees, yes, all right, career, yes, yes, okay. But what about Krishna? This is my real career, to find out Krishna. I must find out Krishna. So if we don't have if we don't maintain this very strong desire that I must find Krishna, I must, whatever is required. Of course, we cannot demand Krishna, that Krishna, you come and dance before me or any such thing. But that, anyway, adarshanam mama hatam kurotuva, even if Krishna doesn't show, even if I don't see Krishna, still I must go on serving Krishna. So this very strong desire to attain Krishna, we have to maintain that. Otherwise, even Krishna consciousness, which is the topmost, sabai pung sang paro dharma yato bhaktir adhokshaje, The topmost path of religion, or the only real religion, is Krishna consciousness. But if we don't maintain this strong enthusiasm or strong heart's desire to search out what is the ultimate hankering of our hearts, which is to find Krishna, then even the activities of Krishna consciousness, if performed in a superficial way without this hankering for Krishna, then it may also become almost like a mundane kind of religion in which the bells are rung and the formulas are followed, but the real life of Krishna consciousness is this search for Krishna, that I must find, I must do whatever is required to satisfy Krishna. I must give every atom of my being, I must dedicate in Krishna's service. So this, Krishna is speaking very intimately to his friend Arjuna, that I've spoken to you so many things about karma yoga, jnana yoga, and ashtanga yoga, so many things, but don't you love me? Won't you love me? Will you come to me? I'll help you. You come to me. So Krishna, he's not actually very interested in explaining about karma yoga or jnana yoga. We may, certainly such subjects are to be discussed to establish this supremacy of bhakti yoga. But really, all this karma yoga, jnana yoga, so many the demigods, all this is, all these discussions are extrinsic to the real need of the soul, which is simply to love Krishna, that pact of love. So this Krishna is calling us to, and it's natural to love Krishna. But unfortunately, we have fallen into this material quagmire. Quagmire means that it's thick mud, and we're struggling in it. And the more we struggle, the more we sink and get stuck in. So the only way to, it's very difficult to, we can't extricate ourselves from this. The only way that we can be extracted is if we accept help from those above us or standing on solid ground. If they throw the rope, mercifully throw us the rope, and we have to take hold of that and come out. Tamasima jyotirgamaya, come out of the darkness of ignorance to the light of Krishna consciousness. So if we actually practice Krishna consciousness very seriously, with this strong desire to attain Krishna, we can advance towards Krishna. We can advance on the path of loving Krishna. This is what this movement is meant for. Sometimes it's thought that this movement is meant for building big temples, and that's true, but what is the purpose? What is the ultimate purpose? So many big buildings have been built, but the ultimate purpose is not to become famous as architects or building contractors or any such thing, but to satisfy Krishna. If Krishna, build a temple, yes, to satisfy Krishna. That should be clearly understood. Otherwise, there are so many big buildings. But if Krishna is not satisfied, then aradito yadi haris tapasatatakim, naradito yadi haris tapasatatakim. The example is given of tapasya, austerity, but it can be applied to any endeavor, that if we perform austerities but we don't satisfy Krishna, then what is the use of these austerities? And if we do satisfy Krishna, there's no need to perform austerities. So we should find out what is required to satisfy Krishna. Of course, that often may include building temples, because by building temples, people, they become attracted, and then they can also start to advance on the path of loving Krishna. If the devotees living in the temples communicate that to them. So the temples are meant for preaching Krishna consciousness and giving people a chance to come to Krishna. So everything should be very clearly kept in focus. Everything that we do should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. Of course, there may be many people coming at different levels, and we may... It may be that we don't force them that now you have to immediately become fully Krishna conscious. That may not be a very practical method of preaching, but so you encourage people, you gradually take up Krishna consciousness. But what is the goal? That should be kept very clearly in the forefront. Sometimes we talk about this bridge preaching. We kind of talk indirectly about something not very related with Krishna consciousness, such as astrology or UFOs or such thing, and then gradually try to catch people's attention and then bring them to Krishna consciousness. So if we actually bring people to the other side of the bridge by such methods, that's very good. The other side of the bridge means that if they understand that astrology, UFOs and so many different things are not in and of themselves of any importance whatsoever, but the actual subject of importance is Krishna. That means we bring them to the other side of the bridge. But if in the name of preaching we just go onto the bridge and don't cross it, or worse still, we go onto the bridge and we go onto the other side ourselves, onto the materialist side, then that's all useless. So it may seem easier. It may be easier to catch people's attentions by coming to some lower platform. Yes, yes. People like demigod worship, so we shall do demigod worship. But our outlook should be, what does Krishna like? Krishna says, antavattu palante shantad bhavatyalpa medhasam. People who have lost their intelligence because they want material desires fulfilled, therefore they worship demigods. So if we indulge people in that, instead of giving them the path by which their actual heart's desire can be satisfied, then that's not preaching, that's cheating. We can worship. Why Krishna says, don't worship different demigods? Why? Because by worship of all these different devas, that can never satisfy the heart, because our eternal relationship is with Krishna. And the eternal relationship of each of the demigods is also with Krishna. So if we try to establish a relationship with the demigods independent of a relationship with Krishna, it's actually it's cheating ourselves. It may seem like the same thing. In worship of demigods, there's some puja, some mantras, and some prasad, and all these different things are there. But it's not the same as worship of Krishna. Because Krishna, he is Deva Deva. He is worshipable by the devas. He is the Paramaradhya. He is to be worshipped by all. So there is a difference. And sometimes we say, well, you see, I'm a Shiva Bhakta. Or I'm a Bhakta. But actually, Bhakta, this exchange of love, which means bhakti, that is possible between Krishna and his devotees. The demigods, they are not the objects of love as Krishna is. They're demigods, they're not Krishna. Krishna is the object of love. So we may get some material desires fulfilled by going to the demigods, but our real heart's need, which is to love Krishna, can never be satisfied. That's why many Hindus may think that, well, this Hare Krishna movement, it's a little fanatical. What's wrong with all this demigod worship? We did it for generations. You can go on doing for generations and generations and generations, but Krishna conscious movement is to stop getting generated again and again, to stop birth and death and go to Krishna. But if we worship the demigods, they're also getting born again and again. And who is the demigod in this life may be just some insignificant human being or less in another life. So all these things should be understood. That the only need of the soul, the only genuine function of the soul is to be in a pact of love with Krishna. And anything else that we aspire for is against our own self-interest. We may think, well, my real self-interest is, I have so many items for my self-interest, I have to get an Aston Martin car, and I have to have a good career and so many things. These things are all external. It doesn't matter. You become Bill Gates. Bill Gates today may be some dog in the street tomorrow. We don't wish it on him. We have no bad feelings towards him, but we are just giving the example that according to our karma, sometimes one has a very big position and mostly one has a very insignificant position in this material world. And even if you do have a very big position in this material world, then what is the value of that? Just like in the pack of dogs is running around in the street. Of course, you don't have so much here. They keep the dogs under control. In India, the dogs run around in the street. So one of them is the leader of the pack. He's the biggest, toughest dog. He's the leader. What is the value of that? There's no value. What is the value of, for a few years, being recognized? Now they have the Olympic Games. Gold medal! Jai! What is this? Did Britain win any gold medals in the last Olympics? I guess they must have won some. Does anyone know? I guess they must have won some. Anyone know? Anyone? Anyone? Someone must know. They must have won something, yeah. All right, I was going to say, did anyone? I was expecting the answer, yes, someone would have known, and then asked, well, who, and what was their name, and what event. But see, you just forget, you see. It's a hero for a few days. Great hero, he managed to run faster than anyone else in one certain event. And then cheers, play the national anthem, and then everyone forgets. So what, anyway, you bring any... What is this animal? Cheetah. C-H-E-E-T-A-H. Usually we talk about the other kind of cheetah. C-H-E-A-T-E-R. But now we're talking about the animal. Not the two-legged animal, four-legged cat species, cheetah. So they can run 80 kilometers an hour. That's faster than any runners in the Olympic Games. So why not give them the gold medal? Weightlifting champion, so much practice. You bring any little baby elephant and without any practice they'll lift up twice the weight. Give them the gold medal. What is the use? It's all nonsense. The whole human society has invented so many ways to forget Krishna. The progress of civilization means to invent more and more ways how to forget Krishna. So we are simply making the point, give up all this nonsense. Sarvadhamam parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja. Surrender to Krishna. This is our point. Because we're in the material atmosphere, our tendency, our bad tendency is to gravitate towards that, back. Because we're thinking that, well, it's okay. Maya is not so bad. We tend to forget that the real need, our real need, our only need, is to surrender to Krishna, to love Krishna. So this Krishna is recommending here, for our own benefit, that what we really need to do is simply to love Krishna. And that we can do by associating with, following the processes of Krishna consciousness given by Rupa Goswami, in the association of devotees who are very much desirous of attaining Krishna. Yes, we should keep this desire strongly in our minds all the time, just like these Olympic sports persons, men and women. How do they get in the national team? Very strong desire, focused desire, working hard for money. They don't have any other. They have no other desire but to win the Olympic gold medal. And they go through so many austerities, they're not allowed to come late, they're under the strict control of their guru, the coach. Their diet, their times of waking up and going to sleep, everything strictly controlled. Just for the sake of some useless objective which only one of them can get and then all the rest of them are failures. Only one gets the gold medal and all the rest are... His silver medal is not such a bad failure, and bronze medal is number two failure, and then all the rest are just complete failures. So everyone's disappointed, and the gold medal winner feels, yeah, I'm so great, and this and that. I'm the greatest, Cassius Clay, Tokyo 1964. But it's all fool's paradise, foolishness. So much endeavor they're giving to become a champion. Why not endeavor to become Krishna conscious? Same determination. We should have so much determination. Now we have the chance to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada is given. Krishna is giving. We should take that, be very serious, and do whatever is required to revive our dormant love for Krishna. So do whatever is required means to follow this process, hearing regularly from devotees, chanting the holy names, taking only Krishna prasadam, associating with devotees. All these processes, these are the life of the devotees. So this should be the basis, the center of our lives. Our whole life should be fully centered on how we can more and more and more and more advance in the path of love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I won't say more about this now because I have to leave soon, unfortunately. So, does anyone have any question about this?
Yeah, I had a question. You're talking about in Krishna was talking to Arjuna there, and you're saying also that for Krishna, one can be reckless about one's career developments and those sort of prospects.
I didn't exactly say that.
Not should be, but it's...
No, exactly. The attitude should be that one should be so strongly focused on Krishna, it may appear reckless to the materialistic people.
Yeah. When Krishna says to Arjuna says that, I think I'll throw a back out of this fight.
Hmm.
And Krishna actually says to him, more or less, sort of, well, don't be so reckless with your material prospects, because you wouldn't stick to it if you backed out of being a kshatriya.
Hmm.
And you're not able to stick to it. And for various other reasons, he gave Arjuna why he should stick to his fighting thing at a certain level of argument. I think that's chapter two. He's given a certain sort of material reason for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on in chapter, right at the end, he says, so he's telling him in chapter two for various reasons to stick to the fighting. And then at the end, obviously there's been a huge development throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. And at the end, Krishna says to Arjuna, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me and continue fighting. So from one point of view, nothing much has happened from chapter 2 to chapter 18, because Krishna's telling him to fight in chapter 2 and he's telling him to fight in chapter 18. So what's the actual difference between those two different instructions, which tell him to do the same thing for different reasons?
Well, then you gave the difference yourself.
Cheers.
The difference in motivation. Mm-hmm. Different reasons.
You can sum them up?
Well, it's... You want me to speak the whole Bhagavad Gita?
Please. Well, just those two different instructions to fight, there must have been a
Yeah, well, Krishna says that that if you win in the battle, you will enjoy the earth. Jitva va bhoksha se mahim. That if you lose, hitva va prapsha si swagam, jitva va bhoksha se mahim. If you lose in the battle, if you're killed, then you'll go to the heavenly planets. And if you win in the battle, then you'll enjoy the earth. So Arjuna had given some materialistic kinds of arguments, and to satisfy or to defeat even those, Krishna said this. But he ultimately brought it to a much deeper level, because Arjuna himself, having given his own reasons for not fighting, he expressed his confusion. In other words, simply the superficial reasons for fighting or not fighting, that in itself was not satisfying to Arjuna. Therefore he says, Shishyaste hang shadimang tuang prapannam, I'm surrendered to you as disciple to Guru. So he was actually calling for Krishna to bring him to a deeper level of understanding. Although Arjuna gave apparently very good reasons from the material point of view, which Krishna also defeated. But Arjuna wanted to go deeper. So even from the material point of view, Krishna was explained that you should fight. But then if we want to know what our ultimate need, what is the ultimate purpose of life, what is our ultimate necessity, why should we do anything and what should be our motive for doing anything, then Krishna explained that in full detail in Bhagavad Gita, everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. So that is the recklessness, if you like, that everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Exactly how these instructions are implemented in our lives will be different in every case. It's often wrongly viewed by Western scholars especially that Bhagavad Gita is a book inciting violence. Although no traditional, namely Indian scholars of Bhagavad Gita have ever understood it in that matter, because they understand it in a deeper way rather than a superficial manner.
The Bhagavad Gita said that Krishna was actually asking Arjuna to fight, because to fight for righteousness is to fight for Krishna.
To fight, when we say righteousness is a word which is often used to as a translation for dharma. Of course, dharma is a much, it's sometimes translated as righteousness, but there's no one word in English which fully represents the term dharma. Yes, Arjuna's whole point was that he wanted to follow dharma. And he thought that adharma bhavavat Krishna, it would be adharma to fight in this circumstance. He wasn't afraid of fighting, or he wasn't against the principle of fighting per se, because he'd been fighting throughout his life as a kshatriya. But he thought that in this particular circumstance, he'd always been fighting throughout his life, but only on the principles of dharma. But he thought in this circumstance, it would be adharma to fight. Adharma bhavat Krishna pradishyante kula striha. That because if we fight, then the women of respectable families, they will become polluted. And that will lead to so many social ills. If they're not protected, they'll become polluted. So he thought in this particular circumstance, it's adharma. But Krishna went on to show Arjuna that indeed, as you have said, the highest dharma is to satisfy Krishna. So even though what Arjuna said may have been correct from the point of view of sadharan dharma, from the point of view of param dharma or atma dharma, then he should do what Krishna requires of him, which in this circumstance meant that he should fight. That is the point of Bhagavad Gita. The point is that we should do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. What Krishna wants us to do.
Someone may argue and may say, why is Krishna inciting adharma?
They may cite, why is Krishna inciting adharma? That's what I'm saying, that Krishna is bringing Arjuna to a much deeper understanding of what dharma is. It may appear from the point of view of sadharan dharma or ordinary dharma that Krishna is recommending something adharmic. But Krishna brought Arjuna to a deeper level of understanding, because dharma is very subtle. Exactly to understand what to do in any given circumstance, there are many rules given in Shastra. This should be done in this circumstance, that should be done in another circumstance, but complexities of human interaction are such that it may be very difficult to understand. Even pundits who are learned in Shastra, they may have different opinions in certain instances, what one should do, what is dharma. But if we understand this principle, to act always for the satisfaction of Krishna, then that brings us to a whole different level of understanding dharma. What is the Atma Dharma, the Dharma of the soul? When we're no longer concerned simply with what will be the various karmic reactions, we're no longer simply concerned with what will be the social reactions, but all these are considered, but the vital factor is, by our activities, how will Krishna be satisfied? Krishna is satisfied with our love for him. Which again isn't something vague that is expressed in activities. I'm going to finish there because I have to go. Going to Coventry, as they say.
Sent to Coventry.
I don't know how Coventry got such a bad name, but but now it's a now it's a holy place because devotees are chanting Hare Krishna there. So happily I'm going there. Unhappily leaving you, but what to do?
Perhaps you want to say something about books you have?
Yes. I'm writing books. Many of you have seen these books before. I'll just go through some of them. This is a beginner's guide to Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness. Practical guidance on how to practice Krishna consciousness in our homes or in an ashram. How to chant, put on tilak, what are the mantras we have to say, how to worship at home, how to offer bhog, all these different things. It's in this book. And we have in Gujarati also. Krishna Bhakti Prabodhini. So that's there.
I can put it.
Then this is a message to the youth of India. Very good for young Indians. That how we should, or how you should, awaken to the value of your own wonderful culture, which is meant for elevation to Krishna consciousness, rather than following the pattern of Western civilization with no Atma Gyan, no Bhakti, simply Indriya Sukh, animal life. You said it. Okay, I didn't say it this time. Then, for practicing Krishna consciousness very seriously, Brahmacharya and Krishna consciousness may be read by devotees in any status of life, by grihasthas also. Because many devotees asked me how I saw Prabhupada and what he said, I've recorded here my memories of Srila Prabhupada with extracts from the lectures I heard of Srila Prabhupada also. This is glorification of wonderful Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So this is for increasing appreciation of Prabhupada. This is a summary of the biography of an amazing preacher of Krishna consciousness, Rasikananda. So all of you who want inspiration in preaching Krishna consciousness, you can read this book. Vamshidas Babaji, is that? It's not here on the table right now. So that could be God. There's another book which is just being brought, Vamshidas Babaji. It's also a biographical account of a great Vaishnav saint. Here is Ramayana. Everyone should know the story of Lord Ram. And this is also we have in Gujarati, Ramayana. This is here. And a new book that I brought out is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's an overview of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas and his teachings. I brought this out specifically because many people in India have heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they don't really know much about him. So I want to distribute this widely in India, in all different languages. And even our own devotees, often they don't really know much, because we have Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a very big book, and not so many devotees read it. So this is... quite a few devotees have told me that after reading this, now I'm definitely going to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, order a few sets for distribution. So these are the books here. There's also a few CDs of some of the lectures I've given. Oh, I think this is a VCD, this one. Yeah, you were asking about VCDs? These are VCDs. These are in Hindi, though. So there's In English and Hindi, there's a few lecture CDs. So if anyone likes them, please take them. Help me in my service to Prabhupada. It's my main service in Prabhupada's service, writing these books. And actually, many devotees have told me that